I'm SP from Better Podcasting, a show dedicated to help make your podcast better. And it is part of the Get a Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other insightful and wonderful geeky shows at GettaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where once again, I don't care about video game stuff anymore. We're just going to jump straight into the comic end of things and talk to another creator about their cool stuff. This time, we're talking to Zoe Tennell about her wonderful comic, Blade Maidens. Zoe, how are you today?
I am doing great. I'm going to warn you, a large part of this is going to be me singing the praises of Valentine Smith, who is my co-creator. And I told her if I ever referred to Blade Maidens as mine, she could throw me out a window. So I want to avoid that.
Well, I only said it was yours because Valentine's not here.
Yeah, unfortunately, she is very, very, very busy right now. But I just wanted to say that so I don't get chucked out a window.
It's always nice to stay safe with something, especially when they have experience drawing swords, because I get the idea that Valentine might be able to take one of the swords from this comic, make it real, and use it on you.
Yes, absolutely. I have no doubt in my mind that they could do that.
So where did the idea for Blade Maidens come from?
Well, Valentine and I were friends before this started, and we were actually working on just a fun little fan comic. A Power Girl fan comic, one of my favorite DC ladies. And we were working together a little bit, and we were really just kind of clicking. And I was like, hey, do you want to do our own thing sometime? And they were down. And so I was just trying to think up ideas, and I was on Twitter one day, and I've told this story on another podcast, and I so wish I saved the tweet in the artist, because I would love to just be able to say exactly who it is. But there was this art of a princess being rescued by, you know, a knight in shining armor, and the knight pulls off the helmet, Shrek style, except it's this hot butch lesbian. And the princess goes like, oh. And I immediately went, that's a comic book right there. And I showed the image to Valentine, and I was like, you want to try and maybe run with something like this? And then we spent the next several weeks just kind of whittling that core into what Blade Maidens has become.
And that's like the perfect origin story for this, though.
Yeah, it really is.
How long were y'all sitting on it before you put it out into the world?
I think we started work in June or July of last year, and we announced and started at the end of October. So it wasn't like an overly long, it was just a few months. But for us, it felt like 8 years.
Well, time is largely irrelevant right now anyway, so that just perfectly lines up.
Yeah, God.
So your role primarily with this is the writing, correct?
Correct. So every idea in Blade Maidens is a collaboration between me and Valentine. Like, I may come up with the original idea for like a story or a character, but by the time it shows up on a page, it is something we have both had our hands on in developing. But yeah, mine is, I typically, like, I've written all the scripts. I write the extra errata, like, be it the flavor text, the short stories, etc. I write all of that, and I also am going, we have some plans to do some, like, world-building stuff that I'm currently writing. And so it's very much me writing these stuff down, but by the time it gets to a point where I have written it down, it is something we have both kind of shaped.
Now, I'm a horrible person, and I did not get a chance to read all the flavor text there.
Oh, it's fine. Sometimes it's cool. I wrote a song in about an hour and a half that people liked way more than I thought they would. But other times it's just like, oh, here's a funny little conversation.
Well, the flavor text is like the best part of Magic Cards, so I know I'm going to go back and look at all of this anyway. But full disclosure, I fixed the toilet before we came on and recording, so it's not like I was just sitting around doing nothing.
Oh. Trust me, I would be shocked if most people... I fully expect most people read Blade Maidens via the pages we tweet on Monday, which do not include the flavor text, but I like doing it, so I'm happy it's there.
What made y'all decide on this, like, pagey format here rather than how I usually see webcomics?
Well, we talked about doing it, like, you know, because, like, Webtoon is huge, Tapas is huge right now, and... what it really came down to is we wanted it to be our own thing. Just something we run on our terms, on our schedule, because we don't make a dime off Blade Maidens yet. Hopefully one day we would love to. But so it is very much a passion project, and all of the more modern scrolling webcomics that are currently dominating, and rightfully so, it's a really cool format. Valentine is that is what they know. They, like, you know, they do traditional comic pages, and it didn't seem right to be like, okay, we're doing something you've never done before for this very personal project. And that really just kind of settled into, we're gonna do one page once a week so the schedule isn't too murderous, and just kind of go it on our own way.
So I guess you could almost say that you two are like me and that you want to be a little bit of a control freak over your little baby.
Very much so. Like, eventually we would love, we've talked about, like, you know, down the road, if something wild happens, we're able to make money off of this. We would love to be able to be like, hey, do you want to do a Blade Maidens short story or like a short comic and, like, you know, have people kind of run wild in this universe we've made. But for now, because it's just Blade Maidens, we definitely want it to be something we are always directly having our hands on.
I really like that. I like that you guys have it on your place. You can do whatever you're going to do with it. You can just sit there and say, oh yeah, we're not going to publish this week. Or, oh, we're going to do something weird because we own the format that we're doing.
Yeah, it's because, like, stuff has come up. Like, I've had weeks where... you know, stuff came up with me. I've written quite a bit ahead, so, like, it's less of an issue for me, but, like, you know, Valentine has had life stuff come up where they just, like, this week, for example, the week we're recording this, we're skipping this week. Valentine had stuff come up, we can't get a page on time, and that's fine. Like, you know, if people are sad about that, you know, we're happy people want to read the next page and are eager, but, like, this is our project. We're doing it as a labor of love. We gotta be able to say, hey, this is on our schedule.
But I am really looking forward to eventually being able to buy that physical copy of a Blade Maidens just collected edition.
That is something we have talked about as something that would be very, very cool to do, that we have absolutely no firm plans on, especially since we haven't even finished our first story arc. But... That would be a very cool thing.
Well, a page at a time, you're probably, I would say, safely at least weeks away from being able to have enough to make that worth it.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot second before we do. But, you know, we're in the meantime, we're trying to do stuff like I wrote a 5,000-something, I forget, short story. Prose story starring Sir and Rowan, and we understand, you know, one single comic page a week is not a meal, it's like, you know, just like a little snack every week, so we want to make sure we give stuff that's a little more substantive here and there, just to kind of make sure people know that there's a lot more to Blade Maidens than we've shown so far.
So what is it about ladies with swords that is just such an appealing concept?
Well, it's just a primal thing, I think. Like, you talk to any lesbian and you say, lady, they're gonna be like, yes, cool. And then you go, lady with a sword, they're gonna be like, yes, great. It's just very cool to see kick-ass women and gender non-conforming people be confident and strong, and swords are such a common, like, image of power. Like, you know, the noble king with their magic sword is everywhere in human fiction. So it's really cool to see, like, just a couple of dirtbag lesbians with swords tearing up the countryside.
And did y'all make a conscious effort to have that kind of representation here in the story, or is that just something that was always going to be there because of who you two are?
Both. It was very easy to say, like, you know, oh, we got two dirtbag lesbians. Sir uses she, they pronouns. Because, you know, that's us. But we are making other conscious efforts. Like, I am not Ace. I realized, like, seeing my Ace friends, just how little representation there is there. So, like, you know, we eventually want to have, like, a somewhat sizable Ace character in the mix. Like, we want, like, characters of all walks of queer life to be here in this world, because we've made this fantasy world that we don't want this to be about, like, you know, oh, they're ostracized and, like, you know, there's queer phobia everywhere. Like, this is just queer folks in a fantasy realm living their life, and that's what we always wanted it to be.
And really what, you know, this world should be anyway, but fortunately we can't make that happen.
I wish.
How far ahead do you have the story at least sitting in your head? Maybe not talk to Valentine about it, but at least kind of, this is where you have an idea of where you want it to go.
Well, pretty much everything. Like, if I get a story idea, the first thing I do is tell Valentine. Because that, like, if I get an idea and Valentine ain't into it, or the other way around, we gotta talk that out and then figure out, like, can we make this something we both like? Can we, like, do something? And so far it's been great. Like, we haven't had any issues because we just are lucky and have a really great creative rhythm. But as far as how far, we've got the first story arc, The Hunt, completed, which was edited by Claire Napier, who is an absolutely fantastic editor. And then we've got a few in-between story arcs. We want to have interludes, like, you know, short little spotlights either on Sir and Rowan, not in the middle of a grand adventure, just like little one or two page shorts, and spotlights on, you know, other characters who may not be starring at the moment. And then originally I had written the first half or so of a big second arc. Then we created Mel, who folks have really liked on Twitter, and quickly realized after creating Mel, oh, this is our third lead character. So we've adjusted things, and I'm currently working on our new second story arc, which is introducing Mel, who is a part-time bard, part-time wolf, full-time complete disaster.
I can't imagine how a part-time bard and part-time wolf would be a complete disaster at all, right?
No, those lives go together so perfectly.
Being your weekly, like, page at a time release, how much influence does seeing the reaction of everybody have on the story?
Not as much as you'd think. Especially, like, the hunt is done. Like, I'm not touching that script. It is a done deal. And I think there's a fine line between paying attention to audience reaction and what audiences are responding to and oversteering because of that. Because sometimes audiences may like a thing but don't know that, oh wait, actually too much of this thing is bad. And for Blade Maidens, we're paying attention so far as, like, we liked Mel. Seeing how strong people reacted to the two Mel pinups that Valentine did made us go, okay, we're on the right track here. This is definitely going to be our third lead. But as far as, like, you know, oh, if people really like this background character that Valentine drew, we're probably not going to be like, okay, they're the new, like, you know, fourth lead character. We're just going to kind of do our own thing and might, you know, make a few small changes here and there, but we're wanting to tell the story we want to tell, not the story that, like, you know, Twitter is, like, excited and raving about a specific panel of.
Let's flip this around to talking about Valentine's art, which I'm sure that they will love us spending, like, an hour just gushing about their art.
Oh, I said, hey, I'm about to do that interview. I'm going to spend at least 50% of it just singing your praises.
Well, I mean, naturally, look at the stuff.
It's so beautiful. Like, I'm a good writer. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, God, I'm bumbling. I don't know what I'm doing. It's a good comic. I wrote good words. I still am just like, how the hell did I trick them into drawing this thing I'm writing? Because it's just so breathtaking.
Well, when you figure it out, let me know so I can try to use it on people too.
Duly noted.
The first thing that jumps out to me is the coloring here and the fact that it's done in an inconsistent way, but an inconsistent way that really makes sense with how the story is going. So definitely, I'm worried that came off as a bad thing now, but definitely I'm
No. That is one thing, Valentine. When we were doing the three-page prelude comic, Valentine had done, like, designs for Sir and Rowan and did the announcement pinup, which is it's blue, red, and black are the only colors on that thing. And when she finished the first page, she was just like, okay, so I have an idea for the coloring. And they showed me the page, and it was the very bright, flat, like, colors that you don't associate with fantasy. Very, like, extremely bright, like, accents. Like, Sir's cape is, like, crimson red. And it was very important to them that this not look like every other fantasy story. Like, it is still distinctly fantasy. Like, you can look at it and be like, oh yeah, this is swords and magic and elves, but it is also very distinctly Valentine, which I once described her art, and she might kill me for saying this on a podcast, I once described her art as looking like a Renaissance painting painted on the bathroom wall of a dive bar. That's how it always feels to me, because it is this very beautiful figures, very, like, incredible framing, and then everything has got, like, a layer of grit and fuzz and color to it that doesn't, like, it's like a two tastes that you think may not work well together, and then they are just a beautiful combination.
I could definitely see that, though. And it just makes perfect sense to me.
It is, like, the the more I see Valentine swinging for the fences with the colors, like the current pages as of this recording are the campfire discussion with Sir and Rowan, which is a scene I love. It's kind of where the story shifts a bit, and everything up to this point has been very like comedic and light and like banter heavy, and then this is where, oh, things are starting to get a little like, there's emotions here. These characters aren't just goofy. And then, so I'm starting to get these pages where she's really dove into the blues and the reds and the pitch black for the night sky. And it's just so atmospheric and beautiful. I'm just like, this, keep doing this, more swings. Like, if you think you have a good idea of what this looks, I trust your vision, go for it.
I fully agree with my can't make art at all self.
Yeah. I can't draw or color worth a shit. I will never pretend like I can. And like, you know, I've done comics criticism. I'm not going to pretend like, you know, I've gone to art school and have like a vast depth of knowledge. But like, I feel like I kind of know when a page works and when a page doesn't. And so far, the only notes I've ever given Valentine with a Blades Maidens are like very itty bitty minor things. It's just so delightful to see the visual identity kind of continue to evolve as we get going.
Like actual art things, or I know where the story is going in the next page and we have an inconsistency?
I think art things. If you look at like the first page of the Prelude story, which was the first actual sequential art Valentine did for Blade Maidens, and then compare it to like some of the more recent ones, I think they've gotten stronger in their framing choices for panels, and they're more willing to deviate from the script as far as like the panel framing I've chosen. If they think like, you know, oh, actually I think a close-up of Rowan in the foreground with Sir visible behind her is a stronger image here, she goes for it. And it, every time she's taken that swing, it has paid off. It looks better, it looks stronger. And Valentine's been doing art for a much, much longer time than I've been doing writing, so I'm not gonna pretend I'm like some like, oh, I'm so proud, like, you know, it's amazing, because they have infinitely more experience than I do. But knowing that Blade Maidens is like both of our thing, it is something that we are pouring a lot of ourselves into, it is very satisfying to me as part of that discussion to see more of Valentine come through on each page.
I know this is early in the hunt, but that third page where you've got mostly them taking up the whole page.
Yes, Sir and Rowan, and then they're talking to the alderman, and it's just kind of...
I don't think that would have happened in the Prelude.
It wouldn't have, and that wasn't what the script... The script was not that originally. Like, hold on, let me see if I can pull up the script. Because I remember when she was drawing that one, she was just like, I think we need like a big page of Sir and Rowan, so like we get a strong, people can look at this and go, oh, that's them, we have a strong visual here in the comic rather than relying on, you know, the pinup or what have you. And oh, here we go, got the script. For page 3, I originally had it be like 6 panels. And she just looked at it and went, let's cut that to 3 and make it mostly a splash page. And it was great. It worked so much better.
I'd almost like to see the way you had it originally planned out just to see the difference. But I also don't want to ask Valentine to do extra work.
Oh, God, no. You know how I avoided being thrown out a window? Her in the beginning of this, If I asked them to do that, I would be thrown out a window. And rightfully so, I would deserve it at that point.
Whether I had anything to do with you asking or not, I feel like now she would come hunt me down just so I could also get thrown out a window. Just because I spoke the idea into the world.
God. I would just say, lock your doors.
I don't think that'll help.
She'll find a way.
How much of a heads up do you get on the... weirdness isn't really the right... No, that's definitely not the right word. The choices that they're going to make on the art, or do you just see it like, here's the page and get to get that full experience the same way readers do?
We are very communicative when making changes, and it's something since starting Blade Maidens, I've got a few other projects that I'm now working on with collaborators that I'm very excited about. But working with Valentine, I'm lucky, has given me a taste of what I think, in my opinion, collaboration should be. Now, obviously, in like more corporate environments, you may not have ideal situations, but in situations like this, we always, if we are going to make a change from what either one of us has established, we run it by the other person first. So, for example, for page 3, they were doing the thumbnails, and she went, hey, I think this might work better in a different layout. Let me show you the thumbnail I have in mind. Showed it to me, and I went, okay, done, that's it. Yep, there you go, that's way stronger of a page. And we went on from there. Other times there have been like, there was at one point Rowan's hat. Valentine described it to me as big hat. That's all the details I got. And so I was a little alarmed because I was like, is she about to give Rowan like a big sun hat? Because I don't think that's the vibe here. And so I was politely like, hey, if that's what you're doing, no. And they just went, no, trust me. And then we got, you know, the design we have now, which I think looks great. But it's always, if we have any concerns, if we have any changes, it is always cleared with the other person before something like substantial work is done.
So it sounds like you two just partly got really lucky that you work the same way and have the same idea of how collaboration should go.
Yeah, extremely so. And like, I've been lucky. The other collaborators I'm working with feel similarly. But I think even if you have different ideas of how collaboration should work, like, you know, if an artist has a different method, they prefer just getting a script and, you know, being like, okay, I'm going to write exactly what's on the script. You know, that's totally valid. I just think that the important thing is communicating and being like, hey, if there is something you want to tweak, say it. Like, you know, be polite, be respectful, be nice, but don't be afraid to be like, hey, what do you think about this? And then if the other person says, no, I like it that way, be like, okay, fine.
Which of the two would you say is more you as a character?
Of Sir Rowan? definitely Rowan. I love Rowan to bits. I love Sir too. It's not a one-to-one, like Valentine is not Sir, I am not Rowan. Like there are bits of both of us in each character. But very much I as much as I would like to think that I'm a big ripped butch lady, I definitely identify with Rowan as kind of like the more book smart, sorcery finesse based of the two.
But who do you think would have a better Twitter game between you and Rowan?
God, Twitter. Rowan might run Twitter, honestly. I think she would be terrifyingly good at Twitter. If only because I think she would know how to weaponize engagement. She's not just smart, she's smart and good at manipulating people. in not in a bad way, like she's not like a con artist, but she kind of knows how to wrap people around her finger if she really wants to. And I think she would thrive on Twitter, because Twitter is a garbage pile that I cannot escape from.
So evil Gail Simone. Okay, that sounds about right.
Ooh, I didn't say evil, but I understand. Yeah, you're not super far off.
How long, I don't know if you're going to be allowed to tell me this, but how long is the hunt going to end up being before it's done?
I don't think we have any reason to not say how long. The hunt is currently, barring any like surprises, 23 pages. So we're not even quite halfway there yet. And then after that, we've got a few interludes and no idea how long the second arc is going to be because I'm still writing it.
So let's see, 23 pages, and we have that many. It will definitely be done by my birthday in September. I like that.
Hey, there you go. It's like a present to you.
And then I will print the pages out and then remember that I didn't actually print the pages out, because that would be stealing art.
No, you are... If you want to physically print out Blade Maidens and staple it together into a little makeshift zine, we go for it. We would love nothing more.
That might be how I end up having to get my wife to read it, because she has too much stuff that she needs to read, and she forgets about them if they're not right in front of her face.
Oh, well, that's a creative solution to that.
Well, it's also my fault because I keep handing her comic issues to read, and she hasn't even gotten to read all the ones that she wanted to read that were her own decision because of me.
I have some friends that I actually now live with. I was constantly their comic like pusher in college, because they liked comics and they did like reading them, but they didn't like follow along weekly like I did. And so I would be like, hey, I know you like this character. You love Loki. You should read Loki, Agent of Asgard. In fact, here is all of Loki, Agent of Asgard that I own here. And so that's how like a massive pile of comics ended up living at their house for years. And every few months I would get like a, hey, I read that Hickman Fantastic Four. That was really good. I liked that. And then it would be like 6 months and then they'd be like, oh yeah, hey, I read, you know, Secret Avengers. It was okay.
I'm still trying to find a way to get her to read some X-Men.
The most reliable method I found is honestly House of X, Powers of 10. Like, that Hox Pox is... It's such a wild swing that, that, like, everyone I've been like, hey, you haven't read... Like, you don't read X-Men comics... read this, they've been like, okay, what happens after this? I have to know.
I've been thinking of jumping her straight into Marauders, though.
I mean, hey, Marauders, the first year of Marauders, like that first 12, 13 issues, it was easily my favorite X-book of the line.
We're getting way off topic here. We need to jump back to your comic.
We are, but I mean, whatever, it's fine.
What have been the big influences of yours and Valentine's in getting Blade Maidens made?
Well, my influences are... So this is going to be like a very unlikely influence given like the aggressively queer nature of Blade Maidens, but I've always liked fantasy. Like, you know, I've always been a big fan. And there's a specific flavor of fantasy, just like the wandering hero, like, you know, like Conan and everything, that I enjoy. But there was one series I read in high school that starred two wandering heroes, a duo act, as they just kind of fought their way through. It was a Warhammer series, Gotrek and Felix, which are just trashy, like, garbage junk food fantasy novels. They're fun as hell. Like, I'm not saying, oh no, they're terrible, don't read them. They're just, you know, junk food. But I loved them. I ate them up. I read every single one. And just the idea of like, hey, here's like, you know, a two-hander fantasy series where it's just these two characters whose personalities are fun and they have a good dynamic working their way through. And, you know, that's something that, you know, Xena has done. That's something like, you know, a bunch of fantasy stories have. But when we were sitting down trying to think of like, you know, stuff and that knight image came up, I was just like, what if we just did kind of like a fantasy series where every arc was just kind of like an adventure in their lives, like rather than one massive ongoing story?
Plus, it gives you a good way to break it up into different like trades almost. So that works for that too.
That's definitely we have plans that are not like written down script or planning document wise, just stuff we talked about. For way down the line, because, you know, we both plan on making Blade Maidens as long as we... Basically, until the day either I or Valentine say, I don't want to do this anymore, or, like, I can't do this, or, like, you know, something has come up, I don't have time. We want to keep making Blade Maidens. So, we had the idea of those standalone, like the hunt is going to be entirely enjoyable on its own. The next story arc introducing Mel, gonna entirely stand alone. And there might be characters or little threads that tie from each one, and it is all part of like the one narrative of Sir and Rowan. But it is something where we wanted each story to be just enjoyable on its own merits. Because that's what I enjoyed about Gotrek and Felix. Was every story was, it was one novel, it was, in this one they're fighting a bunch of rat people, and that is the story of this one. The next one, vampires. And I find that to be a very fun and satisfying format to engage with.
So kind of peek behind the curtain for everybody. We were originally supposed to record this before, and then life happened, as it does.
But
because of that, I got to see that you wrote a song to go in the comic.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You mentioned you were going to do something with this.
Do you have just the words, or do you have a melody for that? I'm like, I'm not going to ask you to perform it. That would just be evil.
Oh, thank God. I can't sing worth a damn. So I have the words. I actually, it'll probably be tweeted by the time you put this out. My roommate, who is also one of my best friends, is a former music he's still a major, but he taught music education. And when he saw that I wrote a song, as they're a big fan of Blade Maidens, went, I know what to do with that, and wrote sheet music for it. So I have both lyrics and sheet music for the Bloody Queen's Ballad.
What instrument did they write it for?
Vocals. They were a choir director.
So no super, like, this is definitely a harp song or anything at this point?
No. This one was, so how they took it, because he was a choir director. It's an in-universe choral... I forget the terminology. Basically, it's a composition, it's a choral composition of a sea shanty. So this originated as a sea shanty among, there's a nation we haven't gotten to yet in Blade Maidens that was founded by pirates, and it's a very popular song over there. And then my friend took it and had it be in universe as, like, this is a rich person's version of this song.
I can think of a few sea shanties that are just people singing, and I like them. And I can see this working, and I really want to hear it, but from somebody who is confident with their singing.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm terrible. You would immediately, any listeners, like any subscribers, anyone you got, if I sang on this show, you're done. I'm sorry. I would have killed your show.
The closest anybody will ever get is sometimes I will kind of halfway-ish sing in an outtake. That is the most anybody will ever get. Because I am also horrible.
Yeah. I'm probably not gonna... I don't think people even get that much from me. I'm on a tabletop RPG podcast, and for our finale, we did this big, like, all our fans sent in, like, audio clips of singing a song, and it was used in the audio of the finale. And most of the cast members did, because, you know, it was a big, like, you know, it's like 40, 50 people all singing, like, you know, a big group thing. And I was just like, you're not getting my voice. Absolutely not. I don't care if there's 50 other people there. I'm not singing on the internet. You can't trick me.
You know, they do have pitch correction.
I do. Yeah, I know that, but I'm also very lazy.
Can't argue with that at all. That's why I haven't made the stupid videos that I've said I'm going to make yet. So overall, I have to assume that you guys are very happy with how Blade Maidens is going. But what have you been hearing from fans, and what are they letting you know about what they think about it?
Well, people like Mel a whole lot, which is unsurprising. The pinups that Valentine did are... When I saw them, I was just like, you're killing me. You can't... this is dangerous. We can't just unleash this topless lesbian werewolf on the masses. Like, that's... We're going to get arrested. But otherwise, you know, people seem to like Sir a little bit more than Rowan so far, which is fine. Rowan hasn't really gotten her time to shine quite yet. That comes a bit later in the hunt, and I'm very excited for it. But people mostly just like that, at least from what I've seen, that it's this just rowdy little queer fantasy comic. Like, it is unabashedly us. And I think people are really responding to and enjoying that. And obviously Valentine's art, because it's breathtaking. Like, Blade Maidens wouldn't be Blade Maidens without Valentine or me, but especially, like, if there was a different aesthetic being used here, it would not be even close to the same comic.
For anybody who hasn't seen this yet, holy crap, this art. Like, the story and the words are good, don't get me wrong.
Oh, thank you.
They really are. But the art makes them look
bad by comparison. Look, Valentine and I are like... like I said, I know I'm a good writer. I'm not, like, insecure, like, oh no, the art is overshadowing me, like... I know Valentine's the superstar here, and I am perfectly content in that. Their art is mind-blowingly beautiful. I'm writing a good story, and I'm happy with that.
So on the complete other end of anything, it's time to take away one of those ominous thoughts I have in your brain.
Oh,
the question that you would have been ready for. Who is your favorite Muppet?
Oh, well, it's Gonzo. I love the Muppets. That was a super easy question.
Did you see the news, which is today as of recording, so probably weeks ago by the time this comes out because of how time works, that there's going to be a new Muppet series looking at Floyd of the Electric Mayhem?
No, what? I did not get that news.
I know basically nothing about it. My wife showed it to me basically right before I came in here because she's a horrible person and likes to tell me about these super cool things when I don't have time to look them up. But it's following the band.
So it's like a mockumentary style, like behind the scenes, like on the road with Electric Mayhem.
As best as I can tell from the 5 second, hey, this is a thing that's happening. Oh yeah, you have to record explanation that I got of it.
God, I would love that. You give me just about any... I even liked the Muppets, that ABC series that people really seemed to hate, but I thought was pretty charming. The one that was a little bit like The Office, like behind the scenes of the Muppet Show. You give me just about anything with the Muppets and I'm there.
As long as I can get my slightly asshole Kermit, I'm good.
Yeah, like Kermit is nice, but Kermit is also very uptight and particular, and sometimes that means he's a jerk.
Kermit being a jerk is okay. Cyclops being a jerk. It happens way too often. It needs to stop.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that I think Jean Grey should be a little bit more of a jerk.
That is also true. And finally, what is the worst job you have ever had?
Oh, Lord. okay. So I barely had it. It was like 2 weeks. The worst job I actually had, like I actually had to work, was a movie concession stand, like at a theater. It sucked. It was the worst.
God,
it was my first
people,
job.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it was. Oh, I've been in customer service. I'm a receptionist currently. Like,
I'm sorry.
That's what I'm. Oh, I'm good at it. It's easy. It's fine. But the job that I had, I technically had because I was hired and I was like on the clock, but I didn't even make it through like the 2 week training period, was working at Quick Trip, which is a regional gas station from the neck of the woods that I'm in. And they pride themselves on their customer service to the point where you are expected to be able to clean the entire store to like an acceptable standard in 30 minutes. And they're also constantly super, super busy all the time. And I hated it. It was the worst. Like you were constantly slammed. Everyone was rude. You had to do an insane amount of cleaning. Like you never had a moment to breathe. And so I was in high school, I think like my senior year. It was either that or my first year of community college. And I hated it so much, but I knew my parents would be like livid if they knew I just quit and left. So for a few days, I just didn't show up and wore my uniform and then just like hung out during the day. And like I would buy a milkshake at a different Quick Trip and spill the milkshake. So when I came home, I would be like, yeah, a milkshake machine splattered all over me. Like, ugh, bad day at work. And it was so bad. And then after about 3 days, due to the bad luck of my stepmom going to the Quick Trip that I was working at and hearing that I was no longer working at that Quick Trip, my cunning ruse was up. But it was the worst job I ever had, and I stand by my terrible little con artist career for that brief moment.
Well, having stopped at a few of those, I don't blame you at all.
Yeah, like they're, as a customer, great. Like, you know, the food's good. Like, you're in and out. It's great. Working there, living hell. Those people deserve $50 an hour.
We're not going to touch that. Not for any bad reason, just because we do have to end the podcast at some point.
Oh, yeah. No,
but anybody who follows me, yeah, I totally agree with you, except for the part where 50 might be undershooting it a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? As much as they want, give it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Zoe, it has been great talking to you about all things Blade Maidens today. If people like to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
Well, I am on Twitter at BlankZilla. I'm on Instagram, Zoe Writes Stuff. And that's about it, honestly. Blade Maidens is at Blade Maidens. Valentine, who, if you follow me and you follow Blade Maidens, you should be following Valentine if you aren't, is at Valentine M. Smith.
Well, the Podcasting Gremlins have decided that is where Zoe and I conversation is going to cut off. So, as always, we will have links down in the show notes to everything. In case you didn't catch that last one, it is also a link to Valentine on Twitter, so you can catch their stuff on there. They do amazing work, so you definitely want to check that out. And just like always, we will have those links down in the show notes, because clicking links is so much easier than trying to remember how to spell things. As always, if you want to hear more from me, best place is to head over to playcomics.com, where you can find links to all the social media things, including Twitter, where I'm most active, Facebook, where I'm basically not active anymore at all kinds of fun things like that. But playcomics.com is the place to do that. That is also the place to go if you want to help support the show. You can be like the super cool people from Oh No Lit Class, Dan McMahon from Gatecrashers, Kate from Ignorance Was Bliss, and former guest of the show, I guess past guest of the show is a better way to say it, Carl Antonovitz, where you can help financially back the show, because doing this isn't free. I enjoy doing it, but they know and are able to help throw money this way so that the show is not all on me. Obviously, that's something I very much appreciate from them. But as always, if you want to help support the show in some other way, you can always just tell people about it, take this podcast and shove it straight into your friends' ear holes, as long as you give them a bit of a warning that that's coming, because that is not a good surprise. Play Comics is still a part of the Gonna Geek Network, home to a bunch of wonderful geeky shows, the most wonderful of which, after mine, of course, is Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where we are about to start taking a look at the Moon Knight series coming out on Disney Plus, right after we finish up with one of the most iconic X-Men stories of all time, the Phoenix Saga. If you like the music that I'm really talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character. Zoe or Zoe? Because I've seen people both with that
Zoe.
Spelling. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I know. People ask all the time.
I would much rather look stupid and ask than look stupid and say it wrong.
Hey, it's never stupid to just be like, hey, how do I say your name?
Well, it might be stupid if somebody asks me, but I'm like generic white boy name.